a child goes through that period when they think their parents have absolutely no sense. But somewhere about 25 years old, they say, but wait, my parents seem to have learned a lot in a short time.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. We have been listening to Pastor Brian Grant's series entitled Secrets to a Happy Home, in which, taking the text of Ephesians 5 verse 21 through 6 verse 4, we find the Apostle Paul counseling his hearers about the model on which God Himself designed the family to operate. And thus far, Pastor Grant has shown from God's Word how a happy home is a home in which every family member submits to the others out of reverence for Christ. We have heard how God's design for a happy home is a home in which the wife is committed to submitting to her husband. And then we heard how the happy home is a home in which the husband makes Christ's love for the church the model for loving his wife. Now, this evening, we will hear the concluding part of Pastor Grant's message, bringing God's counsel to bear on how fathers are to relate to their children. So, if you have your Bibles, we invite you to turn to Ephesians 6 and listen with us as Pastor Grant begins his message, Secrets to a Happy Home, Part 4. Here again is Pastor Grant.
Instead of pressuring them to achieve worldly success, help them develop the spiritual values that will cause them to pursue God's will for their life. If my child will pursue God's will, do you realize that is a child that's going to have fulfillment? And that's a child that's going to really reach their full potential because they're doing what God made them to do. Amen? Are you getting it? The best thing I can do is to help them develop the values that they will want to find out what God wants them to do, and they will seek to pursue what God wants. So I'm going to put a very important passage of scripture on the board, Deuteronomy chapter 6. We're going to put it up on the screen. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 to 9, and here's how it reads. You must commit yourselves wholeheartedly. It's talking to the parents. You must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road, when you're going to bed and when you're getting up from bed. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your foreheads as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your home and on your gates. Are you getting the idea? God is saying the stuff that we need to be trying to build into our children is the Word of God and spiritual values. That's what we should be doing when we're going to bed, when we wake up, when we're driving in the car. It's not about all the stuff. No. You better believe there's a time for homework. Amen, Richard. And you better believe our parents made us do the homework when it was time to do the homework. We got to do the homework. But I tell you, we were allowed to go out there. My father, he would come out sometimes after he came from work. And he would be, there's an empty piece of land next door. And he's coming up, he's running up with the ball. And of course, he has to, and we're, can you imagine how excitement? Daddy is playing cricket with us. And we're hitting him for six, all right? But I hope you got the point I'm making. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Oh, I beg you, parents, don't let them pressure you into their way. The world's way does not work. I mean, you look around you. It ain't working. The children are crazy. Well, the parents are crazy because the parents are allowing the children to raise themselves. And God's word, you'd be amazed. God has so much to say. All right, let's move on. So what have we said so far? So far we have said that one way to provoke our children to anger is by neglect. The second way is by unrealistic expectations. The third one I want to bring to your attention is by showing favoritism. And since we're in the book of Genesis,
We may as well jump over to Genesis 37. And here's what Genesis 37 verse 3 tells us. It says, now Israel, I'm in Genesis 37 verse 3, Israel is Jacob. Now Israel or Jacob loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his what? Old age. Also, he made him a coat of many colors. You know, parents have favorite children for many reasons. In the case of Jacob, it was because they were born when he was old. You know, sometimes men, you know, they figure things are finished with me, and then boom, here comes a child. All right. But for whatever reason, we have our favorites. Some fathers, it's because the father was into football and he has a son who's into football. There are all sorts of reasons why parents show favoritism to a child. It happens. It happens. It's more common than you think. And here's the thing. A child can spot favoritism from a mile away. From a mile away. So if you go and buy this new coat for Joseph, the nobody else getting a new coat, why he's so special? Now, of course, in our family, to be very practical, coming up when I was being raised, the person on the front bench, this brother Richard, he got all the new stuff. I may as well talk it out now. He got the new stuff. And of course, we got the leftovers, okay? So they were passed down. But I wasn't upset with my mom because I knew this was the deal. They were trying to save money. I don't know why, but they were trying to save money. So he got all the new stuff. He got all the new stuff. The other one, no, sometime I got blessed. You know why I got blessed? I'm a little taller than Richard. So sometimes if I wore his trousers, it's a little short, you can imagine where it would fit me. So sometimes I lucked out and got something new. But listen, I wasn't bent out of shape because I realized what the deal was. But parents, you got to be careful. If one is always getting the stuff and the other one isn't, or if you tend to talk a lot about one child, how wonderful that child is, but you hardly mention the others. You speak so proudly of one, but not very proudly of the other. You better believe that child is going to pick it up. So what do you do when the child comes and said, Daddy, I think you have a favorite. Do you know where we make the mistake? It takes us by such surprise because in our hearts we may not even have realized it. More often than not, we attack the child. Definitely not. Where you got that crazy idea from? I don't have... Might I suggest that's the worst reaction? Might I suggest that you realize that child's perception is that child's reality? And in that child's mind, you have shown favoritism to another child? Might I suggest you accept that they believe this? Might I suggest this might be a time? You know, some dads don't believe in being warm and fuzzy. Dad, sometimes we got to get warm and fuzzy. Mom, we got to get warm and fuzzy. This may be a good hugging time. This is a time to apologize. This is a time to say, I'm so sorry that my actions and my behavior may have made you think that way. But I just want you to know, I love you. Do you use that word a lot? To the children, let them hear it. I want you to know I love you. I love you all. I love you just as much. And hey, if I ever do or say anything that might make you think that way, let me know. Because I don't want to ever say or do anything that might make you think that I love this one more than I love you. Because you, I love you. Do it. And then change your behavior. Watch yourself. Watch that new clothes you buy. And make sure everybody gets, or if you're going to buy used clothes, give everybody some used clothes. Amen. All right. Point number four. Fourth way we can show favor, we can pressure, provoke our children to anger is by being too permissive. You know, there are two types of permissive parents. Some have little or no rules. Some have many rules, but they don't mean a thing. We got rules. But you don't have to follow any rule, and we ain't doing anything. Permissive parents. Are you a permissive parent? You know, Eli the priest, was a permissive parent. In 1 Samuel 2, we read that Eli, God's priest, had two sons. One was the name Hophni, and the other one was the name Phinehas. And these boys were some bad boys. The Bible tells us that when people came to offer sacrifices at the tabernacle, they would force people to take, they would by force take some of the sacrifices. The Bible says they were actually having sexual relationships with the women who came to the tabernacle. These were some bad boys. They started bad, they just got worse. Eli, the priest, heard about his boys. So what do you think he did? He talked to them. Daddy, talking ain't disciplining. Some of us say, oh, I did something. I talked to them. Eli did that. He talked to them, and the boys had no change of behavior, and Eli did nothing more. Oh, next week we're going to have to talk about, sometimes you got to let something else do the talking. Amen. Sometimes something else has to do the talking when your talk ain't bringing any action. So God eventually took these boys' lives. They kept it, they got worse and worse. Eli lost his sons. That same day he died himself. He was so overcome with grief. Listen, make sure that you're not a permissive parent. But you know, as I was preparing, I said, how could permissive parenting provoke a child to anger? Did you ever think of that? Isn't this like every child's dream? To have parents who just let you do what you want to do. Isn't that the perfect story? I can do whatever I want. Everybody else's parent tells them not to come home at so-and-so. Not to come home. You can come whenever you want, honey. Just come whenever you want. What a perfect, how could that provoke any child to anger? Did you know the secular experts, this is not the Christians now, the secular experts have discovered that permissive parenting is linked to underage alcohol use, drug use, and several other risky behaviors. You go and look it up yourself. You'll be amazed at the dangers of permissive parenting as told by the ungodly. They have discovered that permissive parenting is deadly for our children. The Bible is right when in Proverbs 29:15 it says, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings his mother to shame. So parents, please don't try to be your child's best friend. You see, some moms, I hear moms, I hear it sometimes, I hear them and they said, I am my daughter and I, she's my best friend. Anytime you feel your son or your daughter is your best friend, no, when you get to my age, if they turn out to be your best friend, that's okay. You see, but you better believe a child goes through that period when they think their parents have absolutely no sense. But somewhere about 25 years old, they say, but wait, my parents seem to have learned a lot in a short time. Your goal ought not to be your child's best friend. God made you as the parent. You are to guide them. You are to bring them up.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
Point number five, finally, we can provoke our children. Number one, we said before, we can provoke our children by neglect. We can provoke them by unrealistic expectations. We can provoke them by showing favoritism or by being too permissive. But we can provoke our children to anger by physical, sexual, or verbal abuse. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, just to provide a context as we move on and bring this message to a close. In the next 5 minutes or so, the word of God says, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good. Does that sound like, it sounds like our time to me, because boy, I tell you, we just love ourselves. You notice what it says? They'll be lovers of themselves. Don't we love ourselves, man? Sometimes we're out there at some spot and I see some people and I'm just amazed how many selfies they're taking. 10, 15, 20, 25, 30. I'm like, how many pictures do you need of yourself at this particular spot? Oh, we just love ourselves and we assume everybody else loves us because we're going to flood the whole world with all these selfies of ourselves. But you notice it didn't only say they're lovers of themselves. It says they're boastful. Boy, social media has provided such an incredible forum for us to boast about everything we have, where we went. Watch out as a believer in Jesus Christ. Make sure you don't fall into this stuff. We don't have to follow the world in everything they're doing. But that's not what I want to talk about. But I want to focus here because the next thing it says, they're not only lovers of themselves and boastful and proud, but they are abusive. The Child Help website indicates that a new case of child abuse is made every 10 seconds in America. In other words, since this service started, about 5,000 new cases of child abuse have been reported. 5,000 since we started. And most cases of child abuse are never reported. Over 5,000 in this short time. And every day, 5 to 7 children are killed by child abuse in this country. Listen, I understand that in some communities, the issue of sexual abuse is so common. Sexual abuse, parents abusing their children, relatives abusing other relatives. And my friend, if that is happening in your family or your extended family, I beg you, do something to stop it, because we are damaging our children. We cannot continue on this path and expect blessing. An Indiana mother was arrested for beating her 7-year-old son with a coat hanger. Boy was 7. He was found with 34 deep bruises all over his body. The mother claimed she was only trying to follow her Christian beliefs. She quoted this verse as her defense. Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike him with a rod, he will not die. You will save his soul from hell. Well, she almost killed him. But if you strike him with the rod, he will not die. She can fool herself in believing she was being a good Christian and doing God's will, but this was blatant abuse. Listen, write this down. Discipline corrects. Discipline corrects, but abuse provokes to anger. Discipline corrects. And it is good, and we'll talk about how to discipline your child next week. Discipline corrects, but abuse provokes to anger. Discipline may include the rod, but the rod must be used in love and with reasonableness. Never forget those two words. You should never discipline that child. When you're angry, you do not discipline a child unless you're disciplining that child in love and with, what is the word? Reasonableness. We'll talk more about that. Have you been guilty of abusing your kids? It may be sexual abuse. It may be physical abuse. And then there's another, this verbal abuse. Oh, we think that's no big deal, you see, because when we were kids, they told us, what? Sticks and stones may what? Break my bones, but your words cannot harm me. Anybody ever heard that one? What a lie. Boy, I tell you, words hurt. Words harm so deeply. They put an indelible mark in child's mind. Those words, when you told that child, you'll never amount to nothing. You're just like your no good father. You better believe you are hurting your child. I was listening to a preacher just in the last few days on the 560, and he was sharing, he was abused, and he said every time he thought about his father, anytime anyone mentioned his father or asked him about his father, he said such terrible thoughts came to him. He was still so angry. He could still go over the abuse in his mind. All the things his dad did to him came flooding back to his mind. And he said, he kept preaching the gospel and preaching about forgiveness. And one day it dawned on him, wow, how can I be preaching so much about forgiveness? And so he asked God to help him. And I hope you're with me, because there's somebody here this morning who your daddy hurt you, or your mommy hurt you. This man prayed and he said, God, help me. Help me. God gave him a vision. And in his vision, he saw a little boy scared to death, a little boy just terrified. And as he looked at the little boy, it was not him. It was his father. And this preacher realized that his father had also been abused. And somehow God used that to help melt this preacher's heart to realize all his dad had gone through. Do you know many abusive parents were abused themselves? But my friend, if you are an abusive parent, the fact that you were abused does not give you an excuse to abuse your child. Do you know what the Bible says? Jesus said, and I want you kids to realize how much Jesus loves you. Jesus said, if anyone offends one of these little children, Jesus said, it is better that a millstone be wrapped around his neck and he be drowned in the sea. Did you hear what I said? Jesus is saying he has strong revolt for parents who are abusive. Don't think that God doesn't see. Don't think you're going to get away with it. Jesus says it is better that a millstone be wrapped around that person's neck and they be drowned in the sea. Boy, I thank God that there is mercy available. And my friend, if you are one of those who have abused a child, I just want you to know that there is mercy available, and God is willing this morning to forgive you if you will tell him and admit to him that you messed up and you ask for his forgiveness. But listen, you need to also go to your child. There's some of you who have children who are still alive that you abuse in one way or the other. You need to get that child and you need to say, I was wrong. I sinned against you. I hurt you. And I am so sorry. Would you please forgive me? You need to do it. You need to ask God to forgive you, and he will. But I want to say something that's to the abuser. But I want to say something to the abused. Do you realize you will never really find peace until you decide to forgive? It's the most amazing thing. You say, Brian, how in the world can I forgive my daddy? How can I do it? How can I forgive my mommy for what they did? It pained me so much. But I tell you, Jesus can give you the grace to do it. You say, how can he do it? You see, Jesus can give you the grace because Jesus knew exactly what it was to be abused. Here he was on the cross. They were abusing him like all get out. And what do you hear Jesus saying? Father, forgive them. My friend, I want to ask you, come to Jesus this morning. The same Jesus who said, forgive us, he will help you to forgive the one who abused you, and you will find that you get incredible relief. I read the story of a lady as I prepared for this message. I read the story of a lady. She was not even a Christian, and her article was entitled, How I Stopped the Cycle of Abuse in My Family. And she shared from generation to generation to generation, there was abuse, 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 until she finally forgave her mother. And she said, amazingly, once I forgave my mother, some of the anger and hostility in her went away, and she was able to raise children without abusing them. You see, God's way always works. God's way always works. And so this morning is a day of decision. I'm going to stop where I started. I started by telling you that story about that man who missed the sign. He lost 50 minutes of his life. 50 minutes of his life because he went and had to come back. Some of us have wasted years because we're not doing it God's way. There's some of you who still don't know Jesus as your Savior. There's some of you who still think your way will get you to heaven. You have never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you're still thinking it's going to work. You still think your way of managing your family is going to work. You're still missing the sign. Oh, I'm so glad that when I invite you to come to Jesus today, you're not going to see on the back of the sign, "Welcome back, stupid." Although we have been stupid, but oh, I tell you, God wants to receive you in his arms of forgiveness and his warm embrace, and he will hold you to his breast.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, "Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved?" You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this: "Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen." And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you, and he will answer your prayer, and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750, or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, "The Word for You Today." We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.